Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for inviting me to your show.
Oh, man. New year, new show.
Well, we already had a new show in the new year.
Don't let anyone know. Play along. Mm-hmm.
What's up, man?
Oh, man.
Yeah, welcome. That good, huh?
Welcome back, Cotter, because I'm going back to work today. Woo-wee! Blow it up!
That's exciting.
It is.
Yeah?
All new fun. Everyone has New Year's resolutions. Everyone's in a great mood, you know.
Ah, yes.
Fantastic.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
only 360 more days until the holiday season starts all over again.
I didn't notice everyone was in a good mood today. I was like, what the fuck's happening right now? Oh, damn it, I cussed already. That's fine. Whatever, get over it. Yeah, I was like, what is happening? There was one person in particular that she's never in a good mood. And she came in smiling and this and that and the other. I was like, did you get laid? Like, what's happening right now?
I was going to say, should I start singing some Sade Sweet Love? Well, oh, man.
Here's the weird thing. Like, she was talking about how she was sick in bed on New Year's. So, like, she didn't even get to celebrate. But she was doing the entire time. She's like smiling and laughing about it. And I'm like, is this like the fucking Twilight Zone? What's happening right now?
Is this a pick your own work adventure?
It's like,
did she see, what is it called? Bumbershoot? Whatever the hell it's called.
Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch. Yeah.
I just watched it.
Pick her own event. I know you'll be talking about it. Hence why I brought it up. Dude, we're anything but professional. I mean, we are professional.
I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, by now, I guess we should be after 178 episodes of this, right. The Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore, co-starring Martin Ferretti.
Cool boy. You're hyping it up already. 20, not noise team.
Noise team. Mm-hmm. Duan did ask if he could still say 20 slate clean, and I told him if he wants to live in the past, then by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, you had the appropriate response to that.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't look back. We move forward, unless it's movies or comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or video games.
Yeah.
Even video games, I think we just move forward.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Ronnie showed me, he sent me a thing on a retro gaming.
You're on fire!
That's hard-boiled eggs, my friend.
Oh, I hear you.
Already. Ooh, hello. Already.
Continue.
But he sent me this new portable retro gaming console.
Nice.
And I just wrote to him, I'm like, buddy, I ain't going backwards. I'm only moving forward. Like, I ain't got time for that. I'm reading comics.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I haven't read comics in like a week.
Oh, shame on you,
it's,
dude.
It's weird. Well, you know, I've been going down these rabbit holes and stuff, so I haven't really had time. But
I know you've been enjoying other media.
I have been enjoying other media. And doing a lot of research, too.
Yes, I have noticed that, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sparky finally convinced me to quit procrastinating.
Good.
And start writing.
Somebody has to kick you in the butt.
I mean, I thought that was your job,
it
but apparently
my job,
it's not.
And I don't do it on a podcast. I do it off air.
That's true. You do it afterwards.
Yes.
I'm
the biggest cheerleader.
I'm gonna unwrap this box. People don't know how mean Nick Wetmore is. After
what?
We're done with the show, he's like, God damn it. Why the F did you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Nick. Please don't hurt me.
And then you bend over with your ruby red bottom and say, I'll take one more.
Where's the paddle? Yeah. None of that is true, by the way. So Nick is super nice. Very
thank
nice.
You.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Anyways, what's up? How's how's your prep for this week going?
Oh, it's fan. If I only had the content to do the prep. But why have that when it hasn't started until next Monday? Oh, wait, next Monday's in 2 work days. Oh, God.
Nick, I don't know if you understand how presentations work.
Mm-hmm.
But you are supposed to wait until the last minute And then when you start doing the presentation and it doesn't go very well, you pretend to have technical difficulties so that it's canceled early. You see what I mean? Like, that's how it works. Have you never seen like an Apple keynote or whatever? Like, that's how it goes, Nick. Get with the program.
You pretend that you're hitting a clicker to move the slide forward.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my god, the clicker's not working. I guess I'll just have to do it off of memory. And there is no doing it off of memory. They're just winging it.
And then you're like, I know I ordered sandwiches for this meeting. I'll be right back. I want to go check on them. And then they hear the squeal of the tires as your Fred Flintstone feet go underneath the car. And you hear the...
I don't know what you're talking about. I have never seen such a thing happen. It is always, they delivered the sandwiches to the wrong address.
They were so freaky fast that they delivered them to the wrong address.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that company's motto?
Yeah.
The
freaky fast Jill freak? Is that it? Jimmy John's?
Yes. Jimmy yeah. John's? Firehouse.
No, Jimmy John's.
Is it Jimmy John's?
Yeah, freaky fast.
Oh yeah, No, I got confused because they have there's that commercial where the building's on fire, and instead of calling the fire department, they call Jimmy John's.
Yes.
To help put out the fire because Jimmy John's will get there faster than the fire department.
Right, and then the guy says, "Grab a bucket."
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's one way to honor our heroes. Let's shit on firefighters on a nationally publicized sandwich commercial.
Mm-hmm. It's only a joke. Don't get bent out of shape. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know. Hashtag me too. What's another? Right. What's another hashtag?
Hashtag boy shorts, mom jeans.
Mm. You know, I'm surprised we haven't received angry letters from folks when we hashtag mom shorts, for example, on Twitter.
Why is that? Who's going to be angry with us?
I mean, moms for one.
Oh, I thought you were going to drop some news that someone on the Nerdy Legion Network wears mom shorts.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure somebody does. You know, maybe that's what I'll do for C2E2. I'm going to wear some mom shorts.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll do because, I mean, I remember the stuff that people were wearing last time. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I'm sure.
You might be overdressed.
I might be overdressed with my hashtag mom shorts. You're right.
Yes.
Oh,
that and could... I would fit right in if I had boy shorts on.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Who wears short shorts? Nick wears short shorts.
You'd be wearing mom jeans, but then you'd have to have the fanny pack attachment as well.
Yes. I'll have to borrow someone.
Oh, I'm sure you'll... You mean go upstairs and reach into your dresser and pull out your fanny pack? Yeah, I know. Borrow. Wink, wink, borrow someone. Sure. No,
yes.
Nick, I only use this when I travel Europe because, you know, they can't go and pickpocket your fanny pack.
I don't own a fanny pack. Actually, you know what? That reminds me, in high school, I got to find this picture. I think it was my... Was it junior year or senior year? I can't remember. But I dressed up as a pimp for Halloween.
For your senior picture?
Every day of my senior year, I was a pimp. For Halloween, I dressed up as a pimp. And I had a ginormous fur jacket. I've told you about this fur jacket, haven't I?
Wasn't it Nelson's?
No, it was my grandma's.
Oh, yeah, your grandma.
Yeah, it's my grandma's fur jacket. But I remember I had a couple of people ask me, why do you own a fur jacket? And I'm like, do I look like a person that would own a goddamn fur jacket? It's not mine, bro. Just like the fanny pack, Nick.
You're not afraid of the fur jacket. Don't be afraid of the fur jacket.
Look, we all know there's no shame in my game, okay? If I own the fur jacket, I would say it. If I own the fanny pack, I would say it. But I don't.
But we all know if you owned a fur jacket, it would be black.
Yes.
They would have to go with the uniform.
It would have to match the color of my heart.
No, your uniform.
My uniform?
Yeah, your black t-shirt.
Oh, I thought I was going to be like in, like YMCA, like the cop in black leather pants.
Yes, exactly. Hashtag C2E2 day two. You do that, I'll be the cowboy from Village People.
Oh, there you go.
I'll have the sweet ass chaps.
Mm-hmm. Assless chaps. I better.
No, because it's C2E2. Can't do that.
Oh, that's right.
It's a family affair.
That's right. Cosplay is not consent.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I can also have the sweet hat, the cowboy hat, and then I'll have to start growing out my mustache so I can have a sweet pillowy mustache.
There you go.
Thank you.
Have you ever had a mustache?
I tried one after I did my billy goat.
Ah, yes.
But once you get rid of the long-ass billy goat, the mustache looks really weird. And you can't really have something goofy.
Mm-hmm.
The most goofy you can have is like that real long U-shape, which I want to call it a handlebar, but I know it's not handlebar because I'm not putting wax in it. But it goes like down the way a billy goat would. The upside-down U.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
The sad face mustache.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. That's cool. Right. I thought about shaving my face. I was thinking about that today.
The whole face?
Well, like not my eyebrows.
You could.
I mean, I could, but not my eyebrows. I need those.
You'd look like a 1970s David Bowie.
Oh.
Man who fell to earth.
Oh. Yes, only if I can play Jared, the Goblin King, and hit on a very young, what's her name? God, what's her name? God damn it. Jennifer Connelly, that's her name.
Oh, You go right. You know what? I'm not going to make you feel bad for doing that. You go right ahead, sir.
You know, let me tell you something. I've had many a celebrity crush over the years.
Mm-hmm,
but Jennifer Connelly may be my longest running celebrity crush.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even longer than your crush on Adam Sandler?
I hate Adam Sandler.
I don't know what my longest crush would be.
You had never thought about it?
I know who my first crush was.
All right, go ahead. First crush.
Julie Newmar.
Oh, that's a good one.
Naturally.
Of course.
You know, reruns. She was on every day when I was growing up.
Yeah, for sure.
I discovered things about myself within that tight outfit of hers. But longest crush, longest celebrity crush.
I mean, like, you know what I mean, though, right? Like, because you might find, like, different celebrities attractive, right?
Okay, I have mine.
Okay, go ahead.
And it actually, I don't know how far I want to go in on this. It was Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. And then Gunderstorm and I went to a Wizard World many decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And who was there? Joyce DeWitt. Who was bubbly and effervescent? Joyce DeWitt. Who came out from behind her table to give us hugs and smiles and chit chat with us? Joyce DeWitt. And it was very off-putting to me.
Really?
It's one of those things, like, as a married person, you always are like, if I ever had a shot, that's the one that I have, you know, full, what it, you get the pardon from the wife.
Sure.
And you know that shit ain't ever going to happen.
Sure.
And that was one of them that's like, man, could that have been, could that, and it just wigged me out. So, mm-mm. It ain't good to meet your heroes, son.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a hero, Nick, to be honest.
Well, crush, I should say.
Oh, okay, crush. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. You know who was super hot? Hedy Lamarr.
Oh, jeez, you're going way back.
God, she was banging.
I'll see, I went from pretty much like Julie Newmar to like Isabella Rossellini.
That's a good one.
But one of the new-ish people I would throw on the cast of Firefly. Both of the ladies in Firefly.
Mm.
That Summer Glau and what's her name? She was on V and Homefront.
Yeah, Marina Baccarin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Mm-hmm. Mamma mia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I agree.
And then, of course, you know, you have to rank up there. You rank up like Ultimate Warrior and Mr. Furley from Three's Company, of course. Standard.
I was gonna say Randy Savage, but that's fine. That works too.
Hey, different strokes for different folks, buddy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you making fun of little people? Is that what that is? Is that a different strokes joke?
Oh, my.
No?
Wow.
No, too much.
No.
Too much.
No, yeah. I was never a different strokes guy.
Oh, I was. Until I learned they were all drug addicts.
Then you were like, no, thank you.
And then I was like, no, thanks. I'm only 12.
I'm going to go watch Webster. Good, clean fun.
Ah, yes. I'm sure Webster was a drug addict too.
I would hope so.
Let's find out.
You have that much money. Good God. Let's spend some of it. Come on. Go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I just always assume, you know, that they're like all drug addicts.
Well, yeah. I just, hey, rock out life. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
hey, before you go to your other media.
Uh-huh. Who said I was doing that?
I know you're going to. I'm reading our Google notes right now.
Oh.
I just want to interject something, so put that in the notes. Last week I was reaching out to Gunderstorm, wanted to play some multiplayer, and I don't think the master race, you, in other words, mm-hmm. deal with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you do. I highly doubt it. I would love to know if you do. But I went to play a new game, Call of Duty.
Hearthstone.
No, just got it. So, of course, I have to go through, like, I already know there's going to be an update. Okay, whatever. This is on the PS4, so I want to know if the PC Master Race is different.
Mm-hmm.
I pop in the disc. I get the prompt for the update. Okay, fine. Clear some hard drive space. Mother effer, are you kidding me? So I clean whatever it is, 60, 46 gigs, let's say.
Yikes!
Clean that out. Okay. And in my head, I'm still thinking, this has to be the update. But really, I wasn't thinking because I'm sitting there chit-chatting on Skype with Gunderstorm. And while we're chit-chatting, I don't even think, how is there any update that's mother effing 64 gigs or whatever it was? And then sure enough, that progress bar went. We're still chit-chatting. He's in Call of Duty waiting for me playing. And we're just, you know, I'm asking him about the game. We're asking him about life. Finally get done with that. And then it wants to do an update. As well as in another edition that's like another 60 gigs. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Hmm.
And I hate to say it, the console, that's why I'd like to know about Master Race. The consoles, you buy physical media, all they're doing, it's like that disc is a key that unlocks all the information that they have, that the company has stored up in the cloud, and now you're downloading the entire game onto your damn hard drive,
mm-hmm.
instead of playing it off of the damn disc itself.
Yep.
And it's so effing and trust me, 90% of the games I buy digital, because it's just, it's so much easier. But when it's your birthday and Christmas, people want to buy you things. They don't want to buy you a PlayStation points card. They want to get you a disc. So hence why I have Call of Duty. And then I'm like, other than now this is a key that will authenticate, oh, he does have this information that's on his hard drive. He's allowed to play this now. Like, that disc never spins.
Hmm.
It's just like an access. It's an unlock key.
Interesting. So,
and I'm curious if you have dealt with that. I'm guessing not, because you probably never buy discs, game discs anymore.
So I have not purchased a game disc in probably 10 years.
Yeah. So that's 10 years ago on console, you were still revving up that game disc and you would hear the
yep.
And it was loud as hell and your console got hot as fuck.
Yes. So
now it never runs. It's silent as a church mouse because everything's been, I have 88 gigs of Call of Duty sitting on my freaking hard drive now, taking up tons of space. And the thing that fucking, as you can tell, how many times have I cursed already? The thing that drives me up a freaking wall is they finally release Call of Duty. And I'm not a big Call of Duty fan. I bought it because my boys bought it. So it's like, what the hell? I'll play with them.
Sure, sure.
Gaming together is much better than gaming by yourself. Unless it's Marvel Spider-Man, which is awesome. But for the PC Master Race, they come out with the game at a cheaper price, and it doesn't include zombies. So they took out the zombie mode for the people that love zombies and want to play it. Mm-hmm. I freaking hate zombies. Give me the cheaper price, or hell, let me select, like, if I pop in that disc, let me select, do you want to download the multiplayer? And I know there is no story mode, but usually it's multiplayer, story mode, zombies. Like, just let me deselect zombies. Don't put that 25 gigs onto my hard drive. Because you know what? I'm never, ever, never. You could give me all of the in-game currency available. I will never open up your zombies game. I will never put that in. I don't care how many guest celebrity guest stars that you put in your DLC. Could care less. No, thank you, good sir. But yet it's sitting on my hard drive taking up probably 30 gigs worth of space. Oh, it just frosted my beater.
So, number one, this is why PC, is better. Because for one, I have not had to purchase a game in, like I said, 10 years. A physical game. Now, the reason that's better is because I don't have to deal with the stuff that you've been dealing with. Number two, PCs are better because I don't have a game that's got 30 gigs of extra crap sitting around doing nothing. I never understood that, but like, that's always been the case with consoles. And I know that there's for sure games that do this on PC, okay? Like, Call of Duty is not much different on PC than it is on, like, a PlayStation or whatever. Sure. But for some reason, there are less assets. Let me tell you. So I've got three hard drives on my PC, okay? So one is the main hard drive for, like, the OS. Then I've got a hard drive for all my media, okay? Which used to include music. It doesn't anymore because I just fucking stream music on the off chance that I listen to any. You know what I mean? Most of what I listen to all day is podcasts. But then I've got like movies on there. I've got old podcast episodes. I've got part of it is for games, and that holds all my games. And I never have all the games installed because I'm on a PC, so I use Steam, and so it's very simple. I install Steam. And I point it to the hard drive that's got my games on it, and bam, automatically. Nothing to download, it just knows that my games are there. Okay? So I could just wipe my whole computer, and it wouldn't matter, because the games are still on there. And Steam's really good about caching too, so like, if you were to switch to a different computer, there is a way where you could just easily transfer your stuff over. And it does game saves and all that stuff too. So it's very simple. But I never have like, I mean, some games still have loading, yeah, which I don't understand. Like, everything should be loading in real time. But there's some things that are like, okay, I get it. So I've been playing a lot of Battle Chasers. Fantastic comic book.
Oh, great Joe Mads? Games.
Yeah, Joe Mads' video game.
I'm reading his stuff right now, by the way. I feel like an old expert reading.
Oh, because you're doing Age of Apocalypse. I thought you were reading Battle Chaser.
No, I sort of want to now.
You should. It's you know, great.
It's really strange. I have completely come around in the last 10 years with him. And these are the two people that I just hated when they were originally coming out. But now I can't get enough of. And that also includes the original shit. Joe Mads, as well as Ed McGuinness.
Ah.
And Ed McGuinness, that was all related to Red Hulk. I got sucked into that hype and I love his stuff. I love his style ever since. Yeah.
What's he doing now? He's doing something that I read.
He was, well, last I saw he was doing Spider-Man stuff. But that was a while back.
That's what it is. Oh, let's look
but
it up.
No, I understand you're the PC master race. And I'm not, I love joking with you about it. And there's a lot of things that are very evident that you're right. It is a PC master race. Mm-hmm. But I just want to play on a console because I'm used to a console.
I know.
But I also know I can take the same damn controller that I'm completely comfortable with and hook that up to Steam and be playing my PC through my little console. And I totally get it. Like, and I could be playing it on my big boy TV. I totally understand. Yep. But I came up, and I'm sure you did as well. I came to the PC late, which was probably right around the same time you did. And holy Christ, it seemed like every 3 months, they were like, oh, here's a brand new game. You can't run that game on your new PC. You got to buy this to upgrade it. You have to get this, and then you also have to get all of these updates. And God forbid that you put them, like, you put the updates in the incorrect order, because that's not going to help you. Like, you needed to be a brain surgeon back in the day. And I know it's a hell of a lot smoother. I never ever hear anybody bitching about PCs now. It sounds like it's sheer gaming heaven.
It is.
But I'm from that thing that's like, oh my God, what if I put in this wrong, whatever it is, this wrong stack, this wrong node, and then I accidentally download this one update instead of this one before it. And oh my God, now it's all like, at least on the console, if you need an update, it's going to put them all in the right order. It is like, I feel like it's an Apple product. Mm-hmm. Console games are made for dummies. You just set it up and you let it go.
Yep.
And it's going to fix it all. It might not look the best. It might not do all of the options you want it to do that you know you can do it over on the PC, but it is one of those things that's, I think it's just what you grow up on. Like, computer gaming was already past my sweet spot. Like, to change that up, that would be like me going from knowing a Betamax to knowing a VCR Laserdisc. Like, that was so many steps ahead of me. At that point, I was already ingrained with the controller. And guess what? When PC gaming was hitting, that it fell into my lap, there was no controller that you could hook up to your PC. Yeah, it was all mouse and keyboard. Yep. And that, no thank you, ma'am. No thank you.
So, yeah, because I remember going out to, it was in GameStop. What was the one before? EB Games. I went to an EB, was it EB Games?
Electronic Boutique?
Yeah, Electronic Boutique. I think it was EB Games. Yeah, before it was called EB Games. Okay. And I remember going in there to get, what was I getting? I was getting a game for some kind of console, and I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking around, and I got to like the PC section, and back then, game stores still sold PC components.
Yes.
You can't go to a GameStop today and get like a hard drive or graphics card or whatever.
Yeah, you'd have to go to like Babbage's for the World of Warcraft, like $100 version, the real pimped out one. Yep. Yeah.
So, but I remember I got there and I was like, huh, they have graphics cards here. And I remember seeing a graphic card and I was like, oh my God, I need to get this because I want to play Marathon. You remember Marathon?
Was that a Bungie game?
Yeah, it was like one of the first Bungie games.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta play Marathon because my computer couldn't run Marathon. And like, I could kind of run like Doom and Quake, but barely. And I'm talking about original Doom and Quake, you know? But barely. And so I remember saving up and that shit cost me like $180. And, I think I spent like birthday money and Christmas money to get it.
Sure.
And looking back at it now, I'm just like, motherfucker, like the graphics card that I have now would fucking murder that graphics card. You know what I mean? But back then it was like the hotness. It was a 3DFX Voodoo something or other, which they're not around anymore. 3DFX went bankrupt and Nvidia bought the company. But, God, that thing.
But you remember when stuff like that, it seemed like every 4 months you had to upgrade something.
It kind of felt like that. For a while, where you felt like every year you had to update.
Oh God, this was at least 5 years, 5-6 years. Because all of a sudden it'd be like, here's the new Far Cry game, or here's the new Quake.
You know what, that's and really funny.
Like, it's so, like, you could run Quake, yeah, but if you want it silky smooth like you saw at the Babbage's, you better go out and buy, you know, this new graphics card and this booster, and you're going to need more memory because this is, you know, it chugs unless you have a lot of Oh God.
So it's really funny that you brought up Far Cry, because when Far Cry came out is when like consoles were like the console war was heating up. You know what I mean? Between like Xbox or Microsoft and Sony. And Far Cry, like if you could run Far Cry on your PC, like you were like the 1%. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Like, hell yeah.
You're joking about, the PC Master Race thing, but like that shit is real. And when Far Cry, when Far Cry came out, like nobody could run Far Cry. Cause like the graphics cards that were made to run that game, or the graphics cards used to make that game were like just coming out onto the PC market, right? But like you could play Far Cry on your console. It wasn't like as good, But it was playable, right? And I mean, it looked good.
But every outlet had that Far Cry demo disc.
Oh yeah, I mean, not just that.
That is just like, let's just. It wasn't even a demo disc. It was a I wouldn't call it demo. It was, and I'm sure you saw it.
Oh, I had
Savages
it.
Savages or Funko Land or whatever.
I got it in EGM.
But they would run, and it was just a movie to show you how freaking pretty it was.
Yeah.
And of course, it was all in-game engine. And yep. I sat there as a console person, and I'm like, yes, can I get this for whatever it was, the Nintendo 64 or whatever it was? It's like, yeah, you can get it for PlayStation 2, but it ain't going to look near as good as that. Oh, my God, freaking the water and how detailed the guns are and the environment. Like, you play that on a console, and the amount of fog that you had to look through, oh, my God, forget about it. Mm. And then they had this one in-game disc running, and it's like, that's the one I want, because the fires look so good. Look at that. That's the one I want. Oh, my God. So, trust me, there was plenty of PC jealousy, especially during the console wars, because it's like, we didn't have anything. Like, we had cool, cartoony, colorful games, but anything that involved realism or something that was badassery, like Doom, there wasn't that on the console. You had Banjo and Kazooie and Donkey Kong.
Yep. Yep. So, all right. So I just looked this up because I wanted to get my years correctly. So Far Cry 1 came out in 2004. Okay.
Mm.
Where
were you? Where were you with your PC master race or video gaming in general?
Oh, God.
In 2004.
04. I wasn't doing a lot of gaming then. 04, I was finishing up college.
Yeah, you didn't have too much time.
So,
yeah,
I didn't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah. You had girls. You had girls you were
engaged. Well, I was engaged my senior year in college.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't going to be playing. You ain't going to be doing any LAN gaming.
Well, plus I was doing parties because I was in a frat.
No, I'm just saying, when Halo came out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, when Halo came out,
I bought an
Xbox just to play Halo.
There you go. I had friends that would be like, all right, whose house are we moving our TVs and consoles over to?
Uh-huh.
And you take this room, you take that room, go, go, go.
Yep.
Like, that was some serious stuff. But even for you, okay, you bought an Xbox because obviously you got hooked into the hype of Halo. But even Halo, good God, anything that was even sort of equivalent on the PC, you do look three times better.
Sure.
But I was always I just shrugged my shoulders and well, this is running fine. I don't have any PC friends to go over and be like, holy shit, look how good this is. Why am I not playing Mortal Kombat on this? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. But instead, you don't know what you don't know. All I know is during E3s or I said, demo discs, or I go into a Babbage's or Funko Land. That's the only time I would ever see anything running on a PC and was Elder Scrolls or Morrowind, stuff that's gigantic in scale. Oh my God, that's a dragon. Look how tiny your guy is compared to that. Yeah, that would always flip my ass. But then I was how expensive would a new PC cost? Oh my God, I can't afford that. Uh-huh. Forget about it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, they were really doing really well at that point. Cause I think even PC hardware just wasn't as good then, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were still trying to.
There was always an air of mystery around it.
Yeah.
You need to know somebody. That's why when Alienware first came out, when they did the true PC or the true laptop for gamers, at least for me and my dummy orangutan brain, I knew if I could afford an Alienware right when it hits, I can play any game. Mm-hmm. Now, for how long? Could be a year. But I knew that they at least were aiming towards we're going to give you everything possible to make PC gaming work for you. Go.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at anything Alienware and it's like, oh my God, it costs three times as much. Holy Christ. I can't afford that.
Yeah, that's why I never got into Alienware stuff. Cause I could build my own PC for half the price.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. But, so I was thinking about this Far Cry thing. you know, Far Cry still used as like the graphics engine, and obviously it's been updated. They still use it for like benchmarking.
For sure.
And I remember when the first Far Cry came out, it was like a benchmark highlight. Like if your computer didn't crash running Far Cry, like you had a great PC. And this is not even like when the game just came out. I'm talking about like 5 years after the game came out. It was still like so damn advanced.
Yeah.
That like people still could not run it on their hardware. 5 years later.
They were squeezing everything they could out of that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, the hardware now, obviously, I mean, you would hope, the hardware now can just easily run, you know, that original Far Cry engine, but, God, yeah, good times.
But I mean, that goes along with any new technology, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like looking back at like how difficult it was to transfer music from one to another. It's like, oh my God, the amount of hoops to jump through. Now it's just like, I have 4 streaming services I can go to and transfer music from one to the other and listen to anything I want by just saying it into, you know, Siri or whatever.
Sure.
And that's exciting. It's great that everything has become sort of dumbed down as well as you can get into the weeds if you want to. Mm-hmm. But, just to put a bow on, I chit-chatted with Gunderstorm for a good 2 hours, waiting for all this stuff to download, all this updates to update. Then finally, his wife came home, and he's like, dude, I gotta get going. So we never even played that
night.
Oh,
Lord.
I was so effing pissed.
Oh, my God.
Not at him, at me. And yeah, I even told him, because he has an Xbox One as well, I'm like, please tell me. Because at this point, like, I'm ready to jump Sony ship. I'm like, just tell me that they download, because I have... Sony has like this quote unquote rest mode. Mm-hmm. And that's when like, oh, my controller is down to 0. I can plug it in, put it into rest mode. My controller will charge and then the machine will turn off. But while it's in rest mode, if there's any updates that come through, you should be automatically getting them. So next time you want to jump on there, you shouldn't be waiting around for any update. I had to load the game onto my hard drive. A big difference, but I would say the last 6 months to a year, the rest mode doesn't do that. So when if I went on right now and I want to play with Gunderstorm, I guarantee you there's an update that has to be done before we fire up a game because I haven't played the game in a week. And it's just like, and that's why I even told him, I'm like, dude, just tell me Microsoft and Xbox One that they have this shit handled. Cause if they have it handled, I love Sony's first party games. I would never be able to play Marvel's Spider-Man, which I did the next night, and that game still effing rocks and pulls out a tear every time I sit down with it. But I hate to say it, I'm willing to give up first party games for a more convenient user experience.
You know how you fix that?
I shouldn't have to sit there and like, I want to play a game. Wait, my controller is dead, or wait, I have to download a patch or a system update that they won't just automatically do for me. They want you to agree to it and then download it and turn off your system. And it's just like, motherfuckers, just do this shit for me. I'm going to be selfish right now. I just want to turn on my machine, fire it up and proceed the game. That's all I want to do. Cause guess what? I might have a 3-hour window. And if I'm fucking around with updates for 50 minutes, that's a third of my time. Mm-hmm. And after that 3-hour window, I might not come back to it for 10 days. And it's like, and here comes another update. It's just the loop of these fucking updates is driving me. Like at this point, it's like, can I just go read a comic? Because you know what I don't need to update? A comic book. Like, good God.
You know what else you don't need to update? A goddamn PC, because it does it for you.
I know. Trust me. Why do you think I asked him about the Xbox One? Because it's like, Microsoft should have this shit handled. Mm-hmm. Sony are idiots. Sony, they're idiots when it comes to multiplayer types conveniences. Microsoft should have their shit covered. So, guess what? When the Xbox 2 or PlayStation 5 comes out, I might be jumping ship.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, from what I hear, when those two come out, you won't have to worry about anything else because it'll just be streaming.
That would be great. Dude, if I could get a Steam system just hook it up to my Apple TV, but just give it to me so it's silky smooth. I will start buying games for on Steam right now. Hmm. Like, Apple, go and do that. To have, instead of Steam, have it be Alexa and just, always listening to me. She loves me.
She does love you. Is mine on? Ugh. Alexa! Dang it, she is on.
Uh-oh.
Not now, she's not. I turned you off, B. Ha! Dang. But you can do that with Steam. You can get a Steam Link.
I know, but aren't they discontinuing those?
Yeah, who cares?
I'm not going to head down. I'm not going to be the only PC person that I know on PC. Dude. I want to game with people.
Oh, yeah, dude. I see what you're saying.
I want to play with people, and I don't want to be playing whatever dumbass game I'm playing, and like, I'm using my comfy controller, and then somebody else is on mouse and keyboard, and they're just wiping the floor with me. Because guess what? You're going to wipe the floor with me anyway. You don't need no advantage to do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, I hear you, dude. I hear you.
But I gotta say, Marvel Spider-Man.
Yeah, good.
For, oh, dude. The parts, and I'm not, this is not gonna take long. The parts that I am just eating up is the story. Every time I go through a nice chunk of story, it gets more and more, I get more and more invested in it, and it's almost like an Elseworld tale.
Hmm.
Like, Peter and Mary Jane, they used to date. Now they're just friendly. You know, she's a reporter for the Daily Bugle.
Sure.
He is like a lab assistant to, I don't know if you know him, Dr. Otto Octavius.
Never heard of him.
And he is developing this like hand arm artificial limb that like wounded warriors can come back and control mentally.
Huh.
And, but yet he has some disease that makes it where he's losing motor function.
Right.
So it's like they're laying in all of these puzzle pieces, but they make him such a sympathetic character that they're laying in all these puzzle pieces. And it's like, you know what he becomes. Will he become that in this game? I'm not sure. I have no idea. Like right now, he's just uber sympathetic.
Right, right.
But yet you can see, like, his brain is still completely active, but, like, his hands, it's hard for him to grip stuff.
Hmm.
So it's like, of course you see where it's going, but it's just so different. The way it's laid out is so different. And they're using Mr. Negative,
right,
which is a Dan Slott villain, and he's the main baddie in it. And Aunt May works for Feast, just like the Dan Slott run. And Mr. Negative, he goes away on sabbatical and tells May, like, take care of Feast. Take care of this homeless shelter. So Peter's helping her out there. There's just so much stuff that's sort of like a comic book run you've read.
Right.
But it's all very, very different. It's just, it is a breath of fresh air, dude. Other than Harry Osborn. Harry Osborn's still a effing dick, which is great. He's still just so greasy and he just oozes. But it's thoroughly impressive. Like I wish like what they did with that DC fighting game, Injustice.
Injustice. Mm-hmm.
Where Tom Taylor wrote the comic book and continues to write the comic book.
Yep.
I wish some writer would be using Marvel Spider-Man and writing this history of the comic book. Like he met Miles Morales, and Miles Morales is not from a different dimension. He's just trying to, after he had a loss, and he's trying to rebuild himself. And Miles Morales is in high school, and Peter has graduated college.
Interesting.
So it's like, it's really neat. Sort of twisted it a little bit. Yeah, it's fascinating. Like all these people that are like, Ultimate Spider-Man, yuck, I don't need another alternate timeline for Spider-Man. Well, Into the Spider-Verse and this video game, it shows, guess what? If you write something really good,
mm-hmm.
I would read those two comic book versions.
Huh.
Like if Marvel's worried Spider-Man get Peter Parker getting too old. Right here's a just out of college age Peter Parker. Or into the Spider-Verse, you know, a Miles Morales who's even younger. But it's a tearjerker, dude. I've gotten many times goosebumps, and I've peeled a couple tears. So
really,
yeah, it's really good,
huh?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes. And right now, I don't know if you can guess, but there's about 20 different spider uniforms you can wear right now. I'm wearing Spider-Man 2099, of course.
Hell yeah. Naturally.
Yeah, no.
Best Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Iron Spider is pretty cool, though, with those big, like, iron tentacles.
Uh-huh.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
But still, 2099, come on now.
I mean, Spider-Man 2099 is so great, he is the only character from that universe that's still around.
Yeah, for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't need, what was it, the Heaven? What, was he touched by God? Punisher 2099,
yeah.
Was he touched by God?
God, I don't remember. Dude, that's been so long. How long? That's so old.
It is, but it's still. Hey, newsflash, some of it's still sort of impregnated into my head.
Yeah, yeah.
But could I remember my mother's phone number? No, absolutely not. But this other crap, yep, stored in my head, never to leave.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, good times. I want to read those again now. Cause they had
let's do it.
They had Spider-Man, there was the X-Men 2099, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there? Oh,
Doom. Punisher, Ghost Rider.
Punisher, Ghost Rider. There was a Doom, right? Doom 2099?
Yes, Doom. Mm-hmm.
What else was there? And I'm talking about like series, not just characters.
Right.
God, now I want to look this up. Now I want to read them right now.
Fantastic Four never had 2099, right?
No.
No.
No, they did not. Let's see. Marvel 2099 comics. God, the good old days. What year was that? Oh my God, 92? That was like prime comics for me.
That was prime no capes and cowls for me.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's see. Oh, Ravage.
Ravage?
Yeah, Ravage 2099.
Oh my God.
Holy moly.
See, I don't even remember. I only remember Doom 2099 because of, like seeing them in quarter bins pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah, cause Ravage was the only one that wasn't like a redo of a different character.
Jeez.
He was just original to the 2099 universe.
See, I might have mocked it back in the day, but guess what? You had Peter David writing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
All right. So according to this, but this wasn't a book though. Yeah, it wasn't a book. Okay. So the books were Doom, Ghost Rider, Hulk, Punisher, Ravage, Spider-Man. I don't know, man. X-Men 2099, X-Nation 2099, Fantastic Four 2099. I don't remember that. Are they sure about this?
It is wicked. So it can't be wrong.
I mean, it very much can. Fantastic Four 2099. Holy shit. That was one.
Was I right? In your face, Freddy.
I've never even seen these.
Time to go buy some stuff. Come on. This is your New Year's resolution, is to buy stuff on every episode. Get in there.
Damn it. These look so bad.
Yeah. So good. You mean, I'm sorry. Did you say good? So good.
No, so bad.
So good.
Why do I not remember these covers?
You're like, very upset at yourself.
I am, because, dude, I remember, like, getting Doom 2099 and X-Men and Spider-Man. I don't remember too many of the other ones, like, actually reading the whole series. But those three I got, like, the whole thing. I don't understand what's happening right now.
Who was the creative team on Fantastic Four 2099?
Oh, shit. I got to pull the page back up. I was looking at cover pictures.
Of course you were.
It ran for 8 issues, Carl Kessel, Ben Rabb, and Terry Kavanaugh. And the pencils was Pasquale Ferry, Matt Ryan, John Buscema, and Rick Nielardi. Which, those are probably covers, because I don't think they did interiors on those.
Buscema?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I'd read, I would flip through that, or at least look at the covers.
It is the one that looks the least different from the FF. Like the other one, you know what I mean? Like the other characters look different, right? Like they were made to look 2099-ish.
Yeah, Punisher and Ghost Rider looked very different.
Yeah, I'm looking at these right now. They look exactly the damn same.
Damn.
No wonder it only ran for 8 issues.
Hey, can I ask you a real quick question? I was thinking about this in the car, and I wanted to bring it up to you, and this is a perfect opportunity too. Mm-hmm. Was there an artist back in the day, maybe right around this time, that you absolutely were like, not doing that? Nope. That person's drawing that book. I'm out.
Yeah, his name is John Romita.
No. Hold on. But then you, in your adult life, you've come back and now all of a sudden you appreciate.
I don't think so, man. In fact, in many ways, it's the other way around, where I'd be like, my God, this is freaking awesome. And now I look back and I'm like, maybe not so much.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking not 2099 Punisher. I was thinking Marvel Knights Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
That was the God Gun or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think what creators would be that way. You know what? I was thinking about that when that new – I can't remember the name of the book. There's a Batman miniseries coming out right now drawn by Kelly Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Kelly Jones back in the day, and I'm like, man, this is freaking awesome, and like the covers are gorgeous and whatever. But then I picked up the series, and I was like, this is not that good. And then like going back and reading Batman issues that Kelly Jones did, and I'm like, like it's better than what he's doing now, but yeah, it's not as good. I mean, the covers are still beautiful, right?
Really?
But like the interiors, just I don't know, man.
I disagree on that one. I've always liked his stuff. He started to do Batman stuff, and that's when I subscribed to Batman.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff.
Well, I think part of the problem with the stuff now is the coloring is weird.
Yeah, you know, like, I can see that. The digital coloring.
Yeah, the digital coloring. It just looks a lot better when it's not done digitally.
I hear you.
So.
I get you.
Dude, I am not buying these Fantastic Four 2099s.
Pick those up.
They're like $3 a piece.
Yeah, we need you to pick those up. You need a well-rounded reading.
Look, this is going to be my C2E2 long box diving goal, is to get the entire 2099 universe for like $10.
I like that.
Because that's about what it's worth.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have any of these anymore. I have to look. I might have some Spider-Man ones, but that's probably it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I have these anymore.
Gee. Hey, can I give you an artist that I did not like as a young boy, and now I can't get enough of them? And I will give you two artists.
Oh, go on.
Because they're brothers.
Because they're brothers.
Yeah, no, not. I'll give you two artists because they're brothers and their styles are very similar, hence why I didn't like either of them back in the day.
The Yin-Yang Twins.
Yes, yeah, no.
Whistle while you twerk. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No?
No, the Sal and John Buscema.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
As a little boy, did not care for their work all that much. When they were on, either of them were on Spider-Man, I was always, oh, boy. Because it was always the, like, mouths always looked the same to me. Mm-hmm. Like Hulk always had the same damn expression on his face. He was always screaming and his mouth was always exactly the same. But now I absolutely love that style. And I love like in the 90s when I went back and I was reading Clone Saga, there was some Buscema there and it was just so wonderful. Oh my gosh. Fantastic.
That's good. I don't remember having that really. I don't know, man. No. I just wanted to read comics. You know what I mean? I didn't really give a shit who made them.
I hear you.
Yeah. I was just like, give me all the comics. How many comics can I buy with $20 right now? That's what I want.
I was very much the same way.
Yeah.
And would you go for quantity or would you go for I could get $20 bin issues or I can get one John Byrne X-Men that's up behind the cashier?
No. Back then, I just bought new comics.
Ah, okay. See, yeah. I cheap bin dived.
Mm.
Because it's, guess what? If somebody's giving me $20 or $30, like, hey, it's your birthday, here's some money, I'm going to be going all in. I want to buy as many comics as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think to this day, I'm still that way. Like, I don't need to own everything, but do I want to read everything? Yeah, hell I want to yeah. read everything.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I mean, as soon as I had money, I just go to the damn comic shop and get comics. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I try to do, like, at least, like, $5 or $6, because then I can buy, like, at least 2 or 3 comics, you know?
Yeah.
And if people, like, the youngins listen to this and, like, 3 comics are $5? Yeah, motherfuckers, they were $1.25 back then. It was great.
It was great. Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
Yeah. And there were some damn good, darn good stuff coming out then. The problem was, you never knew too much about you. Like, you knew what you liked, but you're just sort of going by the cover. Mm-hmm. I'm talking pre-comic book store.
Yeah.
You pretty much go by the cover, because once comic book stores came in, guess what? There's your internet. Mm-hmm. You're looking at what other people are buying. You're looking at, there's 20 comic books all lined up here, but then here's that one title that there's only 2 issues of it left. That's selling a lot. I might want to look at that. Or you have the comic book employee, the comic book store employee, that's like, have you not looked at, you know, Thor? You should check out Thor. It's like, oh, okay, I'll check out Thor then, because I like that guy. He's all right. But pre-comic book store was just like, you looked at the covers and crossed your fingers and hoped that the scene that's on that cover, I hope that's inside somewhere. And guess what? Half the time it was, half the time it wasn't.
Yep, hit or miss.
Yeah,
whatever. I did used to buy a lot for cover.
No?
Oh, yeah. No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Dude, I mean, I was fucking, how old was I? Like 10?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just attracted to shiny things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got into Valiant. I got a X-Men Man of War Zero. What do they call them? The Chromium cover.
Oh. Expensive.
I was like, ooh, that's freaking sweet. I need it. And then I saw their price and I was like, $350? I can buy 2.5 comics for this.
That's why I never got into Valiant.
Yeah, Valiant was expensive, man. I think their books were like $250 was the regular price.
Too rich for my blood. Mm-hmm. When comic books were like, what, $1.75 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, shit, I could buy, instead of 2 Valiant comics, I can buy like 3 or 4 regular comics.
Dude, and there were books that were even more than that. I remember when like Lady Death and Evil Ernie came out, those were all like $350.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, $350? What the fuck?
Yep. Yeah, I remember when I started to dip my toe into like a lot of the indies, and they would always be like 50 cents to a dollar more. And it's like, oh my God, I don't care that the cover paper stock is really like thick and nice. It's like, go back. Like, yeah. I don't want Image titles. Like, great, you're using shiny paper. I need to buy in quantity. I can't be buying just to like, I'm going to bag and board that. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I was such a cheap mother effer, I never even bagged and boarded, because that money could be used to buy more comics.
Yep. Yeah, oh, I didn't bag and board until I had like enough comics where I'm like, what am I going to do with these?
Until you had a good job.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm.
Love it.
Let me go use the potty real quick.
Oh, God. Too much information.
Listen, this keto thing is making me pee like every 30 seconds. So you be glad it's taking this long.
Oh, okay. All right. I will be.
I'll be right back.
Sure. Well, right now, I have started the Epic Collection. God, I don't even recall what it is, but it's the last volume of Age of Apocalypse. Oh, it's called the Complete Age of Apocalypse Epic. So I started book 4, which there was a prelude book, so really it's book 5. And there's been highs and lows, but I'm still amazed that all the X titles went away in of this, because that seems like such a jarring thing to do and something that would never be done now. But book 3 really ramped up, and I'm really liking book 4 a lot. And I think I'm going to be whipping through book 4 pretty quick, because I'm actually pretty excited to see how they're going to wrap it up. I don't see how that's going to happen. And I would love to know, because there's been some deaths in Age of Apocalypse. I would like to know, once they rejigger the timeline back to quote unquote normal timeline, will all of these deaths and relationships go back to square one? Or will they have ghost memories and whoever died during Age of Apocalypse will stay dead until the comic editors and gods decide to bring such and such character back? Because there's been quite a few deaths, and I'm pretty surprised by most of them. But Mr. Sinister has been fantastic, even better than Apocalypse. The event is named after Apocalypse, and I'm more interested in Scott and Alex's relationship. That's pretty fascinating, as well as Mr. Sinister is pretty compelling.
What are you talking about?
My Age of Apocalypse walkthrough, and I had a couple of questions that I threw out.
Oh, did anyone answer?
No, somebody was ketoing it up.
Damn it, mother effers.
One question about Age of Apocalypse for you, then.
Sure.
The master reader, the man who knows of Apocalypse front to back.
The master baiter, yes. Continue.
Oh, God. okay. The X book stops when Age of Apocalypse takes over.
Uh-huh.
I'm on book 5, which is in the complete Age of Apocalypse epic collection. That is book 4 because there's one with a prelude. But technically, I'm on book 5.
Hmm.
So I'm towards the end of the entire event. There's been quite a few deaths. When they bring back, quote unquote, the X-Books reality back to current stasis,
mm-hmm.
will all those deaths be permanent? Will it be a complete wipe back to, we're starting it back where we left off? Or will it be, we're starting back at square one, everything's brand new? Or will these characters have ghost memories and remember things and, oh, there was this one character, Nate Summers. I have memories of him, but he's not here in this reality.
Don't you think that's a little spoilery?
That's what I'm asking. Come on, dude, this is the 90s. Some of this shit, they spell out 50 times before the end of the book. And then other things, it's just like, yep, we're just moving on. Yep.
So for the most part, you're just moving on. There are a couple characters that that's not the case for.
Okay. I just, like I was telling the listener, will the characters just stay dead until the high and mighty Marvel editors deem, we want to bring that character back because we like him.
I gotcha.
And now he's back. I hope it doesn't just like go right back to X-Books, you know, we just picked it up and we're just going to like move on and there's no consequences and people are just, Magneto's never going to remember what happened.
So not entirely, but partially, except for a few characters.
Okay. But dude, Hickman, he must have read this constantly because that's all Secret War is.
Uh-huh.
It's Age of Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
But done instead of Age of Apocalypse, it should just be called Age of Marvel Universe.
Because
that's all Secret Wars is. And that's what attracted me to Secret Wars, is it feels like an Elseworld tale. Ugh, it's really, really insane.
So that means that this year you're going to be picking up Age of X-Men.
The Nate Summers?
Yeah.
He has a book coming out?
There's going to be a whole slew of things.
Uh-oh. It wouldn't take much convincing. Let's put it that way. And I liked all of the relationship stuff. I just got to the Generation Next
mm-hmm.
issue where Peter goes to save Ileana. And Shadow Cat.
Yep.
They save Ileana. Shadow Cat. There's a gigantic uprising in the bowels of this like factory. And Shadow Cat's like, Peter, take your sister back. Magneto needs her. Take her back. I have to stay here. We have to help out our other mutant, you know, our other teammates.
Hmm.
They're getting overrun. And Peter's like, no, Phase us out. they go to the like edge of the warehouse outside, and Peter's like, no, I'm not going to lose my wife, which I love that those two were married in this universe. I'm not going to lose my wife and my sister. You take her, phase her back to Magneto, and I will go and help our teammates. And you won't see me, you won't see me until this gets done. We're going to, we're going to handle this. And then Ileana, through like internal monologue, she's praising how her brother is, such a hero. He's always there for people. He's the hero that she's always looked up to, since she was a little child.
Yeah.
But in the panel layout, you see Peter running, and it's Bacalo, so it's like freaking beautiful. You see Peter running back towards this gigantic door that's being closed from the other side, and he sees all of his teammates in there trying to stem this Lord of the Rings onslaught against the small amount of mutants. Mm-hmm. And he's bracing himself with the door, trying to push it open. And he's seeing all of his teammates pretty much just getting slaughtered.
Right.
And then he, instead of pushing himself inside, he pushes himself back outside and then just sits there and like compartmentalizes and takes that in. And it's like, holy shit, this isn't the Peter Rasputin I grew up with. Like, what the hell just happened? Like, even I was like, I had to go back and I like read like that whole sequence again to see like, did he really say what he said? And then he completely like, it was like he betrayed his wife just because he wanted to get back to them so they could go to Magneto. So he comes up to Shadowcat and Ileana while they're at this fire, and he sits down. And Shadowcat, just by looking at him, realizes exactly what he did. And then her internal monologue is something to the effect of, when Peter sat down by the fire, there was no warmth at the fire.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, dude, I might appeal to tear. I was like, holy shit. Like, cause that's just the biggest betrayal for her. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm willing to go and sacrifice my life. We have to do this. This is what we're there for. And for Peter just to be like, nah, they'll be good. Like, he took it in. And I know you can tell he realized he did, like, he betrayed his teammates as well as, like, his wife. But you could also tell all he wanted to do was get his daughter back to Magneto, or his sister back to Magneto. It was like, dude, this is not standard ex-mutant behavior. It was so good. It was such, like, that was the one part of Age of Apocalypse where I was just like, damn, that just sort of took the wind out of my sail in a great way. Yeah, so that instantly, like, the entire event could end. That book is, at this point, I'm 80 pages in. That book can, it's already a 5 out of 5. It will not lose that 5 out of 5 at all.
Interesting. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It doesn't hurt that it's Chris Bacalo doing it too. And Mark Buckingham doing colors. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh man. No, that's good. Dude, like I said, I haven't read anything in days. So I'm not even caught up on the stuff that, you're reading now. I'm still like way behind.
Well, let's talk about something that you did do.
I did nothing. I've done a whole lot of nothing.
No, you did some Netflixing. I know that. I know that for a fact.
Did I? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to talk. It's so weird.
Come on, at least give me, as soon as I heard that it's a choose your own adventure, at least tell me, is that successful?
All right, fine. So I read, oh man, God damn it.
You watched, not read.
Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about, God, for some reason, this goddamn S.H.I.E.L.D. book, came up, and I just realized I never finished that series.
The Hickman
S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yeah.
Dude, that's so good!
I know, but I never finished it, because it was delayed for, like, years and years.
Well, see, this is why my trade waiting paid off, because I only read the trades. There was no waiting for me.
Gotcha.
But Dustin Weaver's art, oh! people praise his like annihilation stuff. No way. Go read that Shield.
Huh.
Woo, that's some good stuff.
So,
That should be like, just take it outside of, I mean, couldn't that be a good sci-fi movie?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, not Marvel Comics Shield. Like, just take out the comics part. Just make that into its own movie. Mm. Oh, it's so good.
All right, sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah.
This might be everything else I need to go on hold, because I never finished this goddamn book.
How many issues do you have to do?
Just the last two.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, because they put out, it was four, right? Four came out, and then they just quit until whatever, sometime. last year, the year before.
Then they released, like, what was it? One issue? Two issues?
I don't even know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the last two that were never put out.
Oh, it's good.
All right, fine. I'll go ahead and read that. What's the last Thursday? Damn, this is too new. Damn it. All right.
Back in.
Yeah, I'm back in.
Back in.
All right, I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that tonight. So, all right. So, yeah, so I watched Black Mirror Bandersnatch. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Bandersnatch. That's it. Yeah, Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch.
And you haven't seen a Black Mirror episode yet, have you?
No, you recommended a couple non-scary freak out episodes, and I just never tried them.
What are you waiting for?
I don't like that stuff. I can't get into it. It scares me.
Did you see that new Netflix show? The home decorating show with the Japanese lady? Oh, God, what's her name?
I only saw emails about it.
Oh, they sent emails about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like clutter, like unclutter, something like that.
Yeah, tidying up with Marie Kondo.
There you go. How is that?
I don't know. I was very surprised to see it because I went to Netflix to watch Black Mirror, Bandersnatch. And, and I saw that they had the show, and it was really weird because I listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast, and she was one of his guests like 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, because obviously she's Japanese. I don't know if you you haven't seen the trailer for the show, right?
No, but I've seen her picture in the email.
Okay,
so
she's got like a thick Japanese accent. I mean, she speaks English just fine.
Sure,
but she's got a Japanese accent, and
gotcha.
It was so weird. Cause like, I heard about her on a podcast, and now she's got like a TV show on Netflix.
And a Tim Ferriss podcast on, to boot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep.
Now you make me want to watch. See, I'm afraid to watch it, to be honest with you. Cause I know I would watch it with the wife.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden she would be looking around and she'd be like, let's unclutter our life. And I would be like, oh shit. Like,
yes!
Here we go.
Minimalism.
Yes, I'm going to have to start throwing out stuff. And that does not appeal to me.
Uh-huh. So there is a name for this. You know, the Japanese have like a name for everything. Like everything's an art, you know what I mean, in Japan.
Sure.
Because like they take everything very seriously, right? Like when you... Like making tea is like a whole ceremony that takes like, you know, 3 hours. The art of tidying up is a thing in Japan.
Yes.
I think this, Marie Kondo, she learned it from somebody, her dad or her grandma or somebody. Like this is the, like a thing that's been handed down in her family. And, so it's, well, I might check out the show just to see, but like on the podcast, it sounded super interesting. Cause it's like, you know, feng shui is Chinese, not Japanese, but it's kind of similar to that, right? Where like you have certain aesthetics that you're looking for in the way things look and the way that they're laid out in your home. And, I wish I remember what the Japanese term for it was, but anyways, I'm going to check out like at least one episode just to see. But, looking at the trailer, I'm just like, eh, I don't think I'm going to be interested. Yeah. All right. So yeah. Bandersnatch. It was interesting. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Jack about this on Discord a couple of days ago before I had seen it. Cause I guess he saw it and he liked it, but didn't like it. And my wife saw it. She wanted to talk to me about it. And I was like, I haven't seen it. And she's like, what do you mean you haven't seen it? And I was like, no, I haven't seen it. Cause like, I'm trying not to just immediately jump on something. You know what I mean? Like, I get people messaging me about, like, Titans, for example. I'm like, dude, I haven't watched it. Like, I'll watch it sometime this week. But, like, it's Friday. The show just came out. Like, just give me, like, at least a day. You know what I mean? So she's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll watch it. And finally tonight, I was like, you know, I don't really have anything that I want to watch right now. Like, there's probably some stuff on Amazon Prime that I forgot about, but, like, overall, like, there's nothing immediate that I want to watch. Plus I've been on this, like, research kick, as I said before, so I'm trying to, like, spend less time watching stuff and just more time researching and applying what I'm researching. So, I was like, you know what, F it, I'm gonna watch Bandersnatch. And then you sent me that message and I was like, okay, perfect. Like, I'm going to watch this. And by the time it's over, like, I'm going to record with Nick. So I watched it and it was really interesting. Because I don't know how much you remember about the Sega CD. Do you remember the Sega CD?
Sure.
Okay. So for the uninitiated, so back in the day we had the Sega Genesis and, you know, hardware always got better. So they wanted to upgrade things. And so, they devised this thing called the Sega CD, which was, you know, the Genesis took cartridges. The Sega CD took CDs. So it allowed game developers to make, different kinds of games that required more storage. Cause like, you know, a cartridge is like, you know, a couple megabytes. And in a CD, you could do like 650 megabytes. It was huge. And, so they could do bigger games and like more improved graphics. But for some reason, what worked really well on the Sega CD, and by really well, I mean like they just made a bunch of these, not necessarily that they were good, is, they created sort of like live action video games. And what I mean by that is they weren't like mocap, right? Motion capture games, like, Mortal Kombat, for example. It wasn't that kind of thing. Like, you were playing a story, right? And the story played out on your device, and it was all shot like a movie. And you would make choices along the way. And there were like a bunch of these games. Some good, some not very good, some just completely terrible. Some a little controversial because of the content. But either way, like, there were a few of these, like, interactive, I don't even know what to call them, you know what I mean? Like, interactive live action games. And this movie reminded me a lot of that. And I was telling Jack about it, like, he's like, you know, it's so innovative, like, I've never seen anything like this before. You know, the fact that they, like, the way that they blend video game into movie together. And I immediately chimed off where, like, obviously you never play the Sega CD. But it sounded like a little snarky. Cause you know me, I'm a little snarky. Let me pop my seltzer. Well, you know, I can't drink anything else, basically. It's like water. So,
that's true.
Yeah. Delicious.
And, well, they even had one of these, like, choose your own adventure games that, shoot, what's her name from Different Strokes was in one of those.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That was the controversial one, wasn't it?
I think she was topless in, like, one scene real quick.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, God, what was the name of that? Hang on, I'm going to find it right now.
Was it, like, Night? Not Night Shift, something like that.
Yeah, that's it. Was it Night Stalk? No. Night Trap.
There you go, Night Trap, yeah. Yep.
Night Trap.
Yeah, and they're just like the Devil's Lair, except that was a Bluth animated cartoon that you could play through, but it was all put onto a laser disc, and the laser disc, depending on the joystick inputs, left, right, up, down, it would have cut scenes, so when you made a selection, that laser would jump to that part of the laser disc, and you would get the reaction. Whether it's good or bad.
So it's pretty interesting. So here's the basic plot. So there's this kid. His mom is dead. He lives with his dad. He really loves this book, Bandersnatch, that was written by this guy who went crazy. He has the book because apparently it was his mom's book. So it's one of the few things he's got of her. And he decides to create a video game based on this book. and pitches it to a game studio. And, you know, they're like, they agreed to publish the game, but it has to be done by a certain date, this and the other. Anyway, it takes place in the 80s.
It feels, the trailer, very iRobot-ish, as well as the director of Social Network.
You mean Mr. Robot, not iRobot.
Yeah, Mr. Robot, sorry. Yeah.
But
also, but it feels like, God, what the hell is that guy's name? The director who did Social Network.
Crap. David Fincher?
Yeah, Fincher.
Yeah.
It felt very slow moving, which was sort of cool.
I could see that. There's definitely some elements of that. There's some, like, Fight Club elements as well. Just it kind of because of the story, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Without giving spoilers. The director of Bandersnatch, I'll tell you what he's done. He was a director of 30 Days of Night, which I watched recently. What is this he directed? Let's see. Black Mirror. He's done a previous episode of Black Mirror, Metalhead, which I liked. He's done a few episodes of American Gods, a few episodes of Powers, a few episodes of Hannibal. I don't know. He's done a bunch of stuff.
Dang.
Wait, he directed one of the Twilight movies, apparently? Interesting. How does that work?
So, he's not a newbie director, in other words.
He's not. He's done a bunch of stuff. And he's produced a bunch of stuff as well. So he's not a noob. And I think it was actually really interesting, in particular because of the fact that you are basically playing a choose your own adventure game. And the reason I like it is because in the movie, Bandersnatch itself, the book that he wants to base his video game on, is a choose your own adventure book. And so he wants to create this game that's a choose your own adventure game following the plot of the book. And then the movie that you're watching is a choose your own adventure. So it's like meta within meta within meta. You know what I mean? And the way that they do it is very easily done. So as soon as the movie starts, it's like, you know, this is an interactive movie, blah, blah, blah. You have to make choices. Do you understand? Yes or no? And then the movie starts and like, tries you out immediately. Like, you have to pick what kind of cereal he eats. I don't think it's got any impact on the rest of the film. I'm going to try the other one next time I watch it and see, because at one point the cereal that I picked was in a commercial towards the end of the movie. So maybe there's something like that, but who knows? So
weird.
It works really well. Here's the problem. So you cannot watch it on, we have a Chromecast. I could not watch it on Chromecast. Because I guess they don't have a way to control it, which doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, they do the skip intro thing on the Chromecast, so why can't I pick? So I had to watch it on my computer. I think they even recommend it, like, either a smart TV with a remote or a computer, tablet, or phone. Okay?
Okay.
Because you have to be able to interact with the film. And so one thing that I liked is that you know, like, if you watch on a computer, if you watch something, when you, like, move your mouse, you know, you see, like, the controls. I don't know if it's just the way that I had my mouse, maybe. But in this, I didn't have that problem. So when the options come up that you have to pick which path to choose, the controls never came up. It was just, like, I moved my mouse to the yes or no or whatever question it was. And so I thought that was cool because it made it feel a little more interactive.
Neat.
Right? So the story itself is cool. There's some elements in there that remind me of Fight Club. There's some stuff in there that reminds me of The Matrix. There's some stuff in there that reminds me of, like, the philosophy of Grant Morrison. And so, like, I loved, like, the first few choices. After a while, like, I liked the choices less and less. Right? And I like the way that it's done too. So if you pick a choice and somehow it leads to the story ending, it pops up a TV or sometimes two TVs, and it gives you options of places to go back to resume the story with a different choice. Okay.
Wow.
And this is something that, like, we've had in video games for a while. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you have save points, but, like, there are some games, like roguelikes, for example, are notorious for this, where, like, you have to go all the way back to the beginning, right? But the game doesn't change. You have the knowledge of the entire game. So as long as you remember where you messed up, you can continue going.
Right.
But there's a lot of games that give you that. And then when you go back to whatever your save point is, sometimes you'll start off and the game will be a little bit easier, right? To help you get through the next piece of the game. So I like the way that it was done. So it pops up like these two TVs, and inside the TVs, you're like replaying the final scene of where you ended, and it gives you on the bottom your choices. And, you can go back to any of these, or you can just treat that as the ending of your movie and just see the credits. So I did this on a couple of different ones. In fact, on one of the options, I went ahead and did it twice. I picked the same wrong option twice. And when it came back to the select your next move kind of thing, it started off at the same place, but then it gave me a different choice. So I think, like, even if you pick the same path over and over, there may be some paths where doing them again gives you some kind of knowledge of what happens next. Because there's some, like, weird timey-wimey stuff in here. Like, there's one of the paths that you can choose. You can kind of travel to the past and fix a couple things. There's a couple of paths where, like, you know what DMT is?
DMT?
DMT. David, Mary, Tom.
Uh-uh.
Okay. So DMT is a hallucinogen that's derived from like an acacia bush. And, there's something else that you can derive from. I can't remember. And, it's called like the spirit molecule or whatever, because people will either smoke it or drink it or whatever. And they get this like intense hallucinations, and the high is very short. It's like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. But it's like extremely intense. And when people come out of it, they feel like they've communicated with like another species or whatever.
Oh, I've heard of this.
And like everything's like technicolor and like three dimensional, yeah, like fractal patterns and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I heard like Kevin Pereira went to like Peru and did DMT.
Yes. Well, yeah. In Peru it was probably ayahuasca, but maybe DMT.
It might have been ayahuasca.
Yeah, ayahuasca's got like similar stuff.
Yeah, it's
as DMT. Yeah, God, I'm trying to think. There's an artist that does some freaking awesome ass paintings. I gotta look at my believe it or not podcast notes. Cause I was listening to a podcast and they started talking about DMT. Oh, it was Joe Rogan's podcast.
Oh yeah, of course.
And, yeah, they were talking about DMT and he talked about this one artist, and dude, you gotta see these paintings. Holy shit. And the guy's like, this is what I saw when I was tripping on DMT. And you look at it and you're like, yeah, I want to do that. Like, how do I get some? I'm telling you, dude, I'm going to find the name of this artist. Cause it is freaking, as soon as I find it, I will.
Okay.
Anyway, so there's a scene in here where like basically him and his video game idol, and by that I mean like there's the company that he pitches his game to, the guy that works there that makes their games or their popular games. That's his idol. Mm-hmm. He kind of like tries to break him out of the matrix. He's like, dude, you gotta try this thing. I'm gonna show you how to, you know, get over your blockage or whatever, your creative block. And basically they pop a little tab. It looks like acid, but the type of trip that they go into seems more like a DMT thing where, you know, they go through this like communicate with other dimensions and this, that, and the other. It's very trippy, very like Invisibles kind of thing. And, it was super cool. So I think, like that beginning of the movie went really well. Then towards the end of the movie, like there's certain directions that you can take the story into that I thought were really interesting. I wish would have been longer. Like there's a government conspiracy theme that you can do, that I wish was much longer. There are a couple of endings that were kind of meh. And one of the cool things is at one point he's like coding his video game at his computer, right? And, it glitches out and he's like, who are you? Like, what do you want from me? Like he's looking up, like, what do you want from me? Who are you? Like, what is that you want with me? And like, give me a sign that you're there, like listening to me. Cause like the guy that wrote Bandersnatch, the book, went crazy and killed his wife, like decapitated his wife. Mm-hmm. And part of the things that he was talking about was that he felt like he was not in control of his life. That somebody was controlling it for him. And so he based his book on his experiences. And so this kid's kind of going through the same thing. And so he asked for a sign. And one of the signs is like the little symbol that the Bandersnatch guy, did. And the other one just says like Netflix. And I was like, why the fuck would I pick Netflix? So I picked a little sign and it took me down a couple rabbit holes. And, that's one of the ones that I did twice and I got different results. But then like if you go back to it the second time, it doesn't give you Netflix. It gives you like this, PACS. There's like a Pac-Man reference in this story. And it's interesting. It stands for like, what was it? Protect and control, something like that. Basically like, government mind control experiments. And, so you can do the PAX thing and then you get like this really cool branch of the story that goes off. But finally, when I went to the third time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick Netflix. Why not? And then it's cool because it's like, I'm somebody watching you on Netflix is what the computer starts typing. And he's like, what the hell is Netflix? And so you have to like explain to him what Netflix is, right? Like you pick a few options. He's like, I don't understand. And he's like, basically like, I'm from the future and Netflix is like TV, but on the, but online. And right now I'm controlling your actions. And, it was cool. Just like to have him work that in.
That's bizarre.
Cause it made it like even more meta, right? Cause now like you're actually in the movie, right? Making this choice. But yeah, it was super cool.
So meta.
Very meta. Very cool. But like, as you go, so when you pick the Netflix option, you end up going to see the shrink. He's got a shrink that he goes to. And, you gotta see the shrink and he explains to the shrink this whole thing. And she's like, well, that makes no sense, blah, blah, blah. And, she's like, what was it that she says? Something like, if somebody was controlling you, if this was like a simulation, don't you think that they choose a better, like, something more exciting than watching a guy talk to his shrink? and so then you get an option, like, yes or fuck yes. And like, you get an action movie, basically. So like, the shrink gets up and like pulls out swords and like, she and the kids start doing, like, you can choose to fight her or run away. I chose to fight her because it seemed awesome. So like, they're doing kung fu in the shrink's office. And then like, he kicks her ass and his dad comes in and like, him and his dad are start duking it out. And you can like, choose to kick the dad in the balls or like, punch him in the face. It was cool, right? Cause it's also one of those things that like, Black Mirror does where like, yeah, like, you know, you have this like slow building, like choose your own adventure types thing. Like this, you know, some people just don't want to think when they watch a movie. They just want action. So there's an option in here where if you get to that correct adventure, you get an action movie. And again, it's very short, right? But it was super cool to do that. And then, I ended up stopping at one ending. So I think I got like 5 or 6 different endings. I stopped at what I feel is the true ending because all the other ones gave me an option to go back and retry something else. And this particular one did not give me that option. It just went right to credits. So my assumption is that's the ultimate one. And as a result, like, I don't think it really matters what you choose at any point in this movie. I think at some point, eventually you'll get to the true ending of it. And it might take you an hour or it might take you 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. I think I spent like an hour and 45 minutes on it. But eventually you'll get to that. And I think even the way that the options are laid out, I think regardless of what directions you take, my assumption is that within an hour and 40 minutes or so, you'll be done with this movie. Cause I think that's the way it's laid out. And it's funny too, because one of the lines in the movie is like, you don't really have a choice. Right? Like, the choice is already made for you. And I think that ultimately plays out in the ultra meta thing of this thing, where like, no matter what option you choose this character to make in the film, eventually the ending is the same.
Interesting.
So,
Was this a neat experiment, or was it an actual good episode of this show?
I think it was a very neat experiment. I think it was a great episode. I gave it a 8 out of 10.
Oh, shoot.
4 out of 5, if you want to, whatever. What's that called? Reduce? Yeah, there you go. If you want to reduce the fraction, 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it, but I think a lot of it maybe more based on like the ideas that we're discussing it.
Sure, the concepts.
Yeah, the concepts. as in terms of execution, I think it was very well done. And in fact, so well done that there's no jank when you pick an option.
Mm.
Like, it basically is just a camera switch for the most part on most of the options that you choose. So that's it's very cool the way that they did that. I don't know how that's done on the back end, but it works extremely well.
Did you hear that by making this episode, this movie, that it delayed the next season of Black Mirror?
Yeah, dude, I've heard like 300,000 different things on this season of Black Mirror, so I don't know what to believe.
I'm just curious if that's good or is that fine because you got a great product.
I think, here's the thing, like, I love Black Mirror because, mm-hmm. like, it purposely tells a story to fuck with the audience. And because this one is interactive, it's even, I think, more successful at that. I don't know what the reactions for this thing are. I don't really care. In fact, I tell my wife that. She's like, because such and such, like, said this about the endings. And I was like, don't tell me nothing. I don't care. Like, after I watch it, if you want to chat about it, we can. But, like, I don't want my experience of this thing to be spoiled.
Yeah, I get that totally.
Yeah. So,
yeah, don't tarnish. It's fine if you have your own thought and opinion on it.
Yeah.
But don't tarnish what I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Your half of cockamamie ideas.
Yep. Which, yeah. I mean, she kind of enjoyed it. I asked her to rate it. Of course, yeah. not using a 7. I said, not a 7 and no half points. And she said a 7.5. So I said,
a smart lady right
yeah.
there.
So I said, so what you mean is a 6. And she's like, yeah, basically a 6. but that I would probably really like it. And I said, well, if you rated it a 6 and you think I'll like it, that means I'm either going to rate it a 3 or a 9. But like as soon as I started watching it, I was hooked. So I rated it an 8, not quite the 9. But I think it's really interesting, and I would love to see more of this kind of thing. Because it is kind of video gamey, right? It's like, what's that game that we both like, where it's a choose your own adventure? Damn it, I don't
know. Dungeon Lair?
No. Oh, God. Dungeon Lair was awesome.
Yeah.
No, damn it. I don't even have Steam open, so I can't even look at my game collection. You know, the one with the girl and, oh, God damn it, the sequel's coming. Life is Strange.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like Life is Strange. Because in Life is Strange, you're not really doing anything. Basically, it's a click to go to the next option kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, it's like any David Cage games where you can choose to be nice to somebody or be mean to somebody, and those have consequences. And
there you go.
That will make you decide whether, actually, by your choices, you might not even see certain characters in the game.
Yeah, there you go. You know what's good about that? Have you ever played Fable?
Yeah.
Fable was really good at that.
Yeah, Fable's really good at that.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I want more Fable.
Oh, God, yeah. The last Fable was not very good, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's... Is that studio still around?
No, it broke up.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm sure EA owns the rights because they just own everything, so...
I was going to say it was acquired by a larger company.
So,
But it had great petting dog mechanics.
Yes, it did.
Oh, man. My bond of the dog was high.
It was one of the first games to do relationships as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, very cool. So, so I think overall very interesting. I would love to see more of this kind of thing.
Cool.
But look, I it's probably very difficult to do a choose your own adventure story, right?
For sure.
In particular, if you're doing it as a film.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'll give it that. So as a first try of this kind of thing, I think it's just absolutely brilliant. But I do see a lot of potential for better. Like I said, because, for example, the fact that I feel like every no matter what choice I make, eventually I'll get the same ending to the one ultimate ending. I feel like there was a way to just kind of stop at some point.
Mm.
Or maybe like have the tree of options going back be different. So instead of like, oh, I fell off a building and killed myself, let me go back to the balcony and decide whether I want to kill myself or not. Like maybe a different way to go back. I don't know. I don't know how that would be done. I have to think about it some more. Or make each option a little more impactful, maybe.
Let's also not negate that it's a business. So sure, could they film 60 different options? But at some point you also have to realize, yeah, but the majority of people going through this experiment will head down 6 paths. Mm-hmm. So why are we offering 60 paths?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like it, at some point financially you can't overblow and give way too many options because people will never go down all of them.
Yes.
So I get it. I'm sure that's a really hard thing to do, whether it's a video game or a movie.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm telling you, it is so seamless.
That's cool.
So seamless. You get, the options, you're presented with a choice, right? You're like asked a question basically, and you have your options at the bottom, okay, A or B, but like the characters are still talking while you have a countdown to pick your answer. I think usually like 10 or 15 seconds to make a choice. But like the characters aren't stopping for you to make your decision. Like they're still talking. And so my assumption is, I didn't try this at all, but my assumption is when the countdown gets to zero, it'll automatically make a decision for you.
Wow.
And I wonder if maybe that's the way to watch this as a movie. It's just to never pick an answer.
Yeah, a few playing games have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just sort of click down. I think Mass Effect 2 did it. Where yes. You have an option, but also the wheel is like closing it. Oh no, Telltale games, the Walking Dead games. They did that. Where the time limit is slowly ticking down and you can read all. That gives you enough time to read all of them. But like, I liked playing those with my wife because she sort of got into the choose your own adventure, but it clicked down quick enough that it was like, make a choice, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fun little party way to do it.
Yep.
This sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed the experience.
Cool. I like the sound of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I don't know, man. I even thought about like when I get to an ending, instead of choosing to go back to a spot, just going all the way back to the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and like following a different tree. I don't know. We'll see.
I think I would at least once let it time out.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing, just to see what is the defaults.
Yep.
That's real interesting.
Yep. It's very cool. I think you should check it out, dude. It's interesting. I promise.
Sounds scary. No, thank you.
Unless you get into the
heads getting cut off. No, thank you.
No, you don't see that.
I know. No, thank you.
All right, fine.
Besides, you told me all about. So what the heck?
Yeah, I feel like
I've already experienced.
Yeah. No, you did not. Matter of fact, I had this discussion twice today.
Uh oh.
Once with my wife. I can't remember who. I think it was a coworker the second time. About wanting to experience things over having other people experience them for me. Which is weird, right? Cause like, we're doing a podcast and I'm talking about this thing and I don't want it spoiled for me.
Sure.
Right? Like, everybody's probably already seen it by now, right? This thing's been out for a week, I think. Everybody that wants to see it has seen it. I'm probably the last person that wanted to see it that has seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. But like, I didn't want anybody to spoil anything for me. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that was my exact quote. I don't want other people experiencing things for me.
I'm on the opposite end, so that's fine.
Yeah, well, my kids are too.
I have no problem having things spoiled for me. I'll watch people playing video games knowing that they're going to spoil stuff. I don't care. I just want to see it. And guess what? If I want to jump in and play the rest of Spider-Man, even though I saw the ending, you know, it usually inspires me to want to go and do that.
Sure.
Or if it was a complete crap ending, then it's like, well, I put those 10 hours back in my pocket.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's all good.
I agree.
Anyway.
All right. We're about to wrap this up, Nick.
Yeah.
We're about to wrap this up. I do want to say, we're not going to talk about this today. Maybe next episode.
Oh, jeez. You with the teaser. Yeah.
So I've been doing keto for a few days.
Yes, and well, how's your breath?
I want to talk about it next week because I feel like I will have a better understanding of what the hell I'm doing. How is my breath? Very paint thinner like. So it's fine. I matter of fact, last night I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. Because apparently yesterday I must have gone into full ketosis. Because I literally was waking up every 90 minutes to go pee. And I even checked.
You must have been a pleasure.
I fell asleep watching TV. I woke up at 1 o'clock, at 3:30, at 6 o'clock, and then finally when my alarm went off at 7.
Jesus.
Yeah, to go pee. We're not going to talk about it today. Ketosis.
All right.
It's a thing. But I will say this. So I can't really eat yogurt, which I love yogurt. But I can't really eat it because it's kind of high in carbs. But the breakdown of my diet is 70% fat, 25% protein, 5% carbs, which translates to 30 grams of carbs a day. And it's
30 carbs a day.
30 grams of carbs a day. 30 net carbs, so it does not include fiber.
Jesus, dude. That's like one meal for me.
So I'm like keeping track of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I hate reading nutrition labels.
So do I.
But I also, I have an app. It's called like Carb Something. It's made for keto meal tracking. And I've been dead on like every day that I've been using it.
Dang.
Like within a gram of my goal. Like, I think late yesterday was even less. Yesterday I had like 25 grams.
Dang.
Anyways, I love yogurt. So I'm going to give you a tip. Because I think even if you are not doing this crazy keto shit like I'm doing, it is still delicious. And it doesn't sound delicious. But I promise you it is.
Okay.
Keto yogurt.
What?
Keto yogurt.
Oh my God. Is it all artificial sweeteners and whatnot?
It is not. Keto yogurt. Number one.
I've never seen such a thing.
Well, they don't make it.
They don't make it.
I'm going to give you a recipe. Giving you a recipe. I am going to make it. I'm going to start selling this shit.
Are you giving me a recipe on something keto when you said, let's talk about keto next episode?
Well,
how is this?
Because even
you're talking about it for 5 minutes. How is it a tease?
Even if you're not doing keto, it's delicious. And I want people to try it. All right. Are you ready?
Let's see.
Here we go.
Sure.
Here we go. Keto yogurt. Half a cup of sour cream.
Okay.
1 teaspoon of heavy whipping cream.
Okay.
A couple of drops of vanilla extract. And if you want some stevia or whatever. Stevia is about the only thing I can use. Because it's natural. It's not like a made up chemical. And it's sweet. Mm. However, stevia tastes fucking terrible. So I'm probably just not even going to use it. But I made this keto yogurt and I put it in a mason jar and, I put some chia seeds in it for additional fiber. And let me tell you, Nick, it tastes 100% exactly like Greek yogurt. Like literally 100% exactly like it. And it's fucking delicious.
And how many carb grams are in it?
Like 2 or 3.
2 or 3. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're surviving on 30 a day.
That's what keto's about, dude. We're not explaining this today.
Well, you already explained yogurt.
All right, let's not. You want me to briefly explain keto is?
No.
All right, fine.
Do it next time. You said you're going to tease it.
I'm not doing it.
Let's be professional.
Oh, shit. I got to eat more food, bro.
I have to some food, dude.
Well, so here, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had 28 grams of carbs, 142 grams of protein, and 192 grams of fat.
So you're eating a lot of meat.
Yes.
You are a carnivore.
Today, I had 18 grams of carbs, 140 grams of fat, 100 grams of protein.
Shit. You're a meat machine.
A meat machine. I didn't have a whole lot of meat today. I had chicken. I had a lot of macadamia nuts. God, they're so good. It's my new favorite. Salted macadamia nuts. I had like half a cup, which is literally like 10,000 calories.
Yeah. Yeah. How's the salt intake going?
It's fine. Actually, I got a... Nick, why are we talking about this? I
let's, all right. You're right. Let's not go into
Let's talk about this next time.
Cause
I feel like we need to explain what keto is. So we're gonna end it. We're gonna end it right now. Thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore, and his, fellow sidekick, myself, Martin. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Geekvine, at Nick Wetmore, at Nerdy Legion. You can email hello@nerdylegion.com. That's a good email.
Hello, Keto.
That's a good email. Hello@nerdylegion.com. Hello, Keto. That's the episode title for next week, Nick, not for this week. God damn it. Spoilers!
Let's stay on track, good sir.
Damn it. Don't you read the notes? Do you see anything on the notes about Keto? No.
No. That was a bonus podcast.
Anyways, yes. Thanks for listening. We're out. We're done. F this podcast. This is the last episode of this podcast.
No. Julian, I need you to join me. We need a Freddy on the podcast.